Morning, everybody. Good to have you in Sunday school. This morning, Brother Streeter, I need to be turned down a little bit. I got a big mouth. Amen. Everybody get a handout. If you didn't get a handout, we'll get somebody around and get those to you. We're going to be continuing on with our study on Psalm 20 using the dates. A list that he had in his Bible. I do want to make sure that everybody knows I'm not endorsing everything that Dakes teaches and believes. You know, Brother Ryan, my son-in-law, he tells me, hey, they call that Dakes mistakes down at Bible school. I got that. I'm not trying to say that I agree with everything he has, but he does arrange things very well in lists and brings things together, has numbers, this was that many times, and that's all the reason I'm using his stuff this morning, is to continue on in using that list of things that he mentions from Psalm 20 about being a benefit of being one of God's anointed. Amen. So, without any further ado, I guess we'll wait on the folks for their offering. And Ryan, will you stand and ask the Lord to bless the class this morning, please? Oh, Jesus, do it. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm chapter 20. And reading from verse 1 through 9, we talked about last week about how that when God says something repetitively in the Word of God, of how much more important it is for us to pay attention to it. Not that if it's not mentioned but one time that it is less important. The Bible is condensed, and God has put things in this Word that every single word is important. But when he states things more than once, there's a reason behind it. Amen. In this psalm, we'll find several things that are said over and over and over again. And the reason is God wants us to get a grip on some things from this section of Scripture. Amen. So let's read this together. Psalm chapter 20. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thine offerings and accept thy burnt sacrifice, Selah. Grant thee according to thine own heart and fulfill all thy counsel. We will rejoice in thy salvation and the name of our God we will set up our banners, the Lord, fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen. But we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Last week on the handout, there were the seven topics of the list, and I'll go over those again real quick just to bring folks up to speed where we're going here. There are seven statements, Dake says, of trust and confidence found in these scriptures. Number one is, the Lord hears in the time of trouble. And last week we talked about just exactly how troubling these times are that we're living in now. How the homosexuality is rampant and the morals outside the doors of the church. And unfortunately, too many times inside the doors of the church have fallen down. We're in trouble. Amen. These are very troubling times. But the promise from that is that the Lord will hear thee in the day of trouble. As you look across Sodom and Gomorrah, you look across Noah and the flood, there were people in those times that God heard and rescued them out of those times. and that how we too are in troubling times, and just across the way, just in a few days, just in a little while, in the twinkling of an eye, Jesus could split the eastern sky and we'll be rescued too. The Lord will deliver us and hear us in our day of trouble and come and save us, amen, out of the rest of all what's going to happen to this world. The Lord hears in the time of trouble. Number two, and hopefully we'll get to that today, the Lord, or His name, will defend you. That's found also in verse 1 of our text. Number 3 is, He will send help from the sanctuary. Number 4 is, He will strengthen you out of Zion. Number 5, the Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Number 6, He will hear from heaven. And number 7 is, God is our trust. Amen. He is our trust. Even in the midst of these troubling times. Now, this morning, I want to go on to the second topic in that list, where it says, His name will defend you. Let's look at our scripture again. Psalm 20 and verse 1, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble, the name of the God of Jacob, defend me, or defend thee. The next thing we read is, the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. Now, anytime I read through the Word of God and I find that statement, the name of God, I can't help but in my own personal life go back to a time when right here in this church, Brother McGeechee was the pastor, that he taught on the names of God. And we went into mostly just the Jehovah, the compound names of God. In fact, I looked through several of my Bibles and taped to the very front of them that study, the names of God and their meanings and those things. It's taped right into the front of my Bibles. I made a reduced copy and put them right in there because it was such a pivotal thing in my life. The study and all that. And that is the handout. Basically, there's a couple of things removed. The spelling was corrected. If the Lances remember back then, we had a secretary that had a hard time spelling. And in fact, she even couldn't do scripture. The scripture that's on here, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10, where it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. She put, the name of the Lord is a strong forever. And it's still on there. It's still on my handouts. I have it crossed out, and it's said right, you know. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it, and is safe. So there's some things that have been corrected, but this basically is that same handout. And it was pivotal in my life. Amen. The teachings on the compound Jehovah names of God. And I can't help, but any time I read in Scripture where it says the name of God, amen, to go back to that study and how much blessing it's been to me through the years. Now, there's something else that comes to me when I think and I hear that term, the name of God. And it's found in our Bibles in the Lord's Prayer. Now, there are two places where the Lord's Prayer is recorded. One is in Matthew chapter 6, and the other is in Luke chapter 11. Actually, it's the disciples' prayer, but we're not going to go through all that. But here is the one thing that I think about when I think about the name of God. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. When you go into Luke chapter 11, it says almost the exact same thing. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth, so in heaven. So what we have to do is, when we think about that, is, and we recognize that His name His name is hallowed. Well, yesterday as I was talking to friends at the picnic, I didn't use that word hallowed. Did you, Brother Streeter? It's not a word that we use every day. So you would need to find out what hallowed actually means. So that's what I did. And it's defined simply as considered to be holy. God's name is to be considered holy. Not just that He is, but even His name is to be considered with reverence and awe. Can I ask you this? If you happen to venture out anywhere, if you work in a factory, if you're ever out amongst the unsaved, what is one of the things that they don't do today? They don't hallow and reverence the name of God. You know, I was thinking about this as I was preparing this morning, but do you know that Jesus Christ is the only person that you could ever make a painting of or do something with and then put urine in it and it be lauded as art? If you do that to Muhammad or something like that, or Buddha or whatever, there'd be such a lawsuit. There would be such an uprising. People would be killed. But the name of our God can be blasphemed, and your tax dollars pay for it. Yeah, that's where that whole thing came from. It was a grant from the arts. Our tax dollars, Brother Lance, paid for that. I better get off that, or I'll get down that bunny trail and never get off it. Amen. But His name is to be considered holy. Today, out there, too many times, it's not even recognized as being anything but a curse word. But His name is holy. Those people have forgotten that there is a scripture in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7 that says this: Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. They've forgotten that that's written down somewhere. They've forgotten they're going to stand before him and give an account for how they treated his name. His name. Hallowed be thy name. Now, we don't have any problems chucking the rocks outside. But did you read what else it says in here? That taketh his name in vain. Now don't worry, don't everybody get all tight again. I'm not going to teach on the euphemisms that I taught of a while back. You know, how that Christian people sometimes use slang words, and in that they make the name of God vain. They don't have the proper respect and reverence for His holy name because of Jesus. And I'm not going to go into all that, okay? It was recorded. You can find that. But too many times in the church, we're guilty because we don't know all there is to know about the name of God. We don't put the proper value. We maybe unknowingly consider it vain. And let's look and see what that word means, vain. Because that's what it says, taking his name in vain. It's not just talking about cursing with it. Listen to what vain means: empty of substance. Considering the name of God vain, empty of substance. That's one of the definitions of vain. Devoid of substance or meaning. Fruitless. Pointless. Or in a disrespectful or blasphemous way. That's what the word vain means. And now as we look in the church, when we consider the name of God, do I put the proper reverence, the proper awe? Is it hallowed to me like it ought to be? Is it holy, pure, undefiled like it ought to be to me? What about to you? His name is not to be taken in vain. Now, that thought of vain, and let me give you a little Boyer commentary here, and this is what I thought of, but not affording the name of God the proper respect and awe and reverence that it deserves. Not affording the name of God the proper respect, awe, and reverence that it deserves. His name. The Jewish people take His name so to be so holy that they won't even utter it. They use, and I'll get into this, tetragrammaton, I think is, that may be as beat up as it's going to get out of these lips, but they won't even write the name of God. I was, because of my family's lineage and the fact that my mom is a Russian Jew or my grandma is a Russian Jew and all that, I went on to Moses.com or something like that, and I started to ask questions of the Jewish elders there, and when I would get a response to them, it would have a G, an underscore, and a D. When they responded to me about God, they wouldn't even write the name God because they had it in such reverence for a fear of not considering it in an unvain way, if I can say it like that. For fear of somebody wadding up that piece of paper and throwing it away with God's name on it. Putting their email in a trash bin or whatever. I mean, they have it in such reverence. But I'm going to tell you, if I read the Scriptures right this morning, that's a travesty. To put it to such reverence and awe that we don't use it for what He gave it to us for. What does it say? Brother Ryan, could you read Psalms 20 verses and verse 1 again? God gave us His name for a reason. Read it. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. He's given us a weapon to defend us, and both as an offensive weapon, not to be offensive, you know, but as a tool to offend, to take back territory that the enemy's taken. An offensive weapon. He's given it to us. Could you imagine the soldier on the battlefield that had a sidearm, a little handgun, and he also had a bazooka? And there were tanks coming in, and he laid down the bazooka and took his handgun out to fight? You'd think he was crazy. That's what we do with the name of God when we won't even mention it, when we won't even use it like He told us to. The name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. Use it as a weapon against the enemy. Amen. With the proper reverence and awe and respect due to His name. Amen. In the day of trouble, the Bible says, the name of the God of Jacob, defend thee. It's a tool. It's a weapon. And it's to be used by us. Don't get lulled into that thing where it's so holy it can't be used by the child of God. It can be. And that's why God gave it to us. His name. And all we have to do is read through Scripture, and we're going to see many, many places where He brings out His name. All right. I wonder if when we get into a situation, trouble in our lives, and we don't use the weapon that God has given us, if we too aren't guilty of violating this commandment. You know, when we're in that physical, financial, mental, moral, ethical struggle, trial, the first thing we do is run to a friend or run to a counselor or run somewhere for help. Don't consider that God has given us His name as a weapon. Are we guilty then of taking His name in vain? That's something to think about, friends. I know that's kind of sobering, but it is given to us for our defense. It's also, and this is another part of the repetitive things from this psalm that stuck out to me as I was reading it, and that I think we ought to take notice of today. If you look down into verse 5 of Psalm chapter 20, it says, "We will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God will we set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions." In verse 7, as you read down through there, it says, "Some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord, our God." As you go through the whole book of Psalms, and I didn't write them all down, but I wrote a few down, and look at where it says the name of God. Let me read a couple of those to you this morning, okay? Psalm 8 and verse 1 says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens." Verse 9 of Psalm 8. "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." Psalm 9, verse 10 says, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thy face." Psalm 29 and verse 2. "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Psalm 33 and verse 21 says, "For our heart shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name." Psalm 34 and verse 3. "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." Amen. His name. Let's exalt it together. Amen. Psalms 44 and verse 5. "Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us." Now, I don't know about you, but as I'm thinking about this weapon deal, that's a place where it's shown pretty plainly that God gave us His name for a weapon, an offensive weapon. Proverbs, and I already read this earlier this morning, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10. "The name of the Lord is a strong tower." Now, I thought about what Ron taught or preached the other night about the medieval castles. "But His name is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and is safe." Amen. Now, these names that I'm going to go through real quick are not on your handout. If you want a copy of these notes, I can give you those. It's not a problem. I'm just going to go over them real quick. There's some other names. We are very familiar with the Jehovah names of God. They're everywhere. You can find a study on them anywhere online, in a lot of books. I mean, and we'll get into them. And I believe they have a place for us. But those are just, you know, some people have made that such a study that they forget about other things from the Bible. And I don't want to do that this morning either. But there are other names in the Old Testament that are used for God. One is El or Eloah, E-L-O-A-H. And this name is used 242 times in the Old Testament alone. It's Strong's number, H-410, if you care about that. What it really means is God, mighty, strong, and prominent. Might is the main thought, though, when you think about hearing El or Eloah. It's might is the main thought. Elohim is the plural of El or Eloah. It's another word, and it is used, it's number 430 in the Strong's. It's used over 2,600 times in the Old Testament. Elohim. And it means God, the Creator, mighty, and strong. Turn to your first page of Scripture in your Bible. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Right there, that word God right there is Elohim. And it is the plural of El, or Eloah. Right from the beginning, God is trying to reveal to man the Trinity. The plural. The plurality of the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Right there in the very first Scripture in the Word. It's a mystery. I'm not saying I understand the Trinity. I just believe in it. Amen. And God, from the very beginning, starts to show Himself to us as the Trinity, the Godhead. Amen. All through that first several chapters of Scripture, the word Elohim is used for God over and over and over again. In fact, even in Genesis 1:26, where it says, "Let us make man in our image." In that Scripture, in the image of God, you know, that right there is Elohim. He's trying to show us the plurality of the Godhead. Amen. As you go on, there's El Shaddai. Now, this is going to date me a little bit, but has anybody ever heard the song by Amy Grant, El Shaddai? Okay, that's from several years ago. And I'm not saying I support that either. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying that that's another name for God, El Shaddai, and it means God Almighty, the Mighty One of Jacob. And again, this Scripture speaks again, or this word rather, speaks again to the supreme authority of God and His ultimate power over everything. Amen. Adonai is another name. Now this one in your Bible, you can find it in the Old Testament. It will have a large L and a small O-R-D. Usually if you read it in the Old Testament, it says Lord. That's usually the name that or the word that is used there. I'm trying to see if I have how many times. I didn't write that down, how many times it's used in the Word of God. But there's a bunch. Now, this word, Adonai, was used in place of the Tetragrammaton. And again, that may be a beat up of that word. The Jehovah, this Adonai was used over and over again because they felt they could use this word without violating that third commandment. Amen. It's found in your Bibles, large L, small O-R-D. Now, as we go on and we get into the Jehovah names, and you can get your hand out now because that's where we're going to stay until we're done. This, and I'm going to ask Brother Streeter to, how do you say that word? Tetragrammaton. A little louder so everybody can hear you. Tetragrammaton. That's how you say that. All right. But it's the four letters that represent the name of God in the Old Testament. And that word, tetragrammaton, simply is a Greek word that means, now wait for it, four letters. That's what it means. Deep, huh? And what the letters are is the Greek letters YHWH. Amen. That's what it stands for. But that word, in the Hebrew version of it, is found 6,521 times in the Old Testament. We say Jehovah. The Jews, what do they say? Right. But it will be Yahweh. And there's... Yeah. Well, we say it Jehovah. Amen. Now, as we go over our handout this morning, I want you to think about something about the other names of God that we brought out this morning. El Shaddai, El, Elohim, Adonai. They all speak about the power or the might of God. And we need to know that God is almighty. We need to know that. But listen, when we get into these Jehovah names, it is so good to have it revealed to us about what He is then to us. He reveals Himself and what He wants to do for people through His Jehovah names. It's good to know that He rules all the world and He can speak things into existence and all of that. But how much more precious it is when we hear the Jehovah names and find out that they relate to what He wants to show man and do for man through His names. Amen. So let's look into that today. Let's start off with Jehovah Tsidkenu, or the Lord, our righteousness. Now this is found in Jeremiah 33 and verse 16. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely, and this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. As with Jehovah and Kadesh, as we'll see in a minute, it is God alone who provides righteousness to man, and ultimately in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, who became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. God, our righteousness. Let's go on then. Jehovah Emkadesh, the Lord who sanctifies or who makes holy. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 8 says, "And ye shall keep my commandments and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you." Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 28 says, "And the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore." Through the revelation of these two names, Tsidkenu, Jehovah Tsidkenu, and Jehovah Emkadesh, He shows to us that it is Him and Him alone that sanctifies people. It's not only sanctified Israel, but it's only Him that can sanctify you and I today. Now, as you think about it, you'll never be any more clean in the sight of God than when you get up from an altar of repentance, confession, and acceptance of Christ Jesus as your personal Savior. You'll be made instantaneously holy, sanctified in God's sight at that instant. That's called positional sanctification. God sanctifies us. Pastor has said it. I've said it. There have been testimonies over and over again about how we struggle with sin in the natural. It's only God that can sanctify us. Only Him. But then, some, just so you don't get the wrong idea, I'm not laying it all on Him, because it goes on then, and if we have accepted or received that positional sanctification from Him, we will also have birthed in our hearts a desire to be holy as He is holy. And we will go on and be progressively sanctified, or practical sanctification, if God positionally, if that's even a word, sanctifies us. If He says He is righteous, He is holy, when we get up from that altar of prayer. If that is birthed in us, if God is in our life, then we too will be a holy people progressively as we go on and serve Him practically. Jehovah Shalom. the Lord our peace. After Gideon built an altar, here's what it says in Judges chapter 6, verse 24. The Lord our peace. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day is it yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. The name given by Gideon to the altar he built after the angel of the Lord assured him he would not die as he thought he would after seeing him. The peace of God. Amen. There can be a lot said too there about how God, when our sins are gone, we have peace with God. Romans 5, 1. Let's go on. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. And that's found in Ezekiel chapter 48, verse 35. It was around about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be the Lord is there. It's a name ascribed to Jerusalem and the temple there, indicating that the once departed glory of the Lord. Remember when we read about how the Ichabod was written at Eli and all that? And how that when Ezekiel and Ezra and all those guys came back and all that, and they started to build the temple, and here this is prophesied about the Messiah, I believe. But the once departed glory of the Lord has returned. Now, the next one is Jehovah Rapha. Now, there are a lot of different spellings to these. It's Rophi or Rophi on the handout. I did a lot of searching, and I didn't look at the Strong's. I should have. But the one I have is Rapha. The basics of the truth is, though, is that He is the Lord who heals. Jehovah Rophi, or Rapha, the Lord who heals. This compound Jehovah name is found in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. Would you please turn there in your Bibles? And the reason is because I want to bring something out very important here about the Lord who heals. We know that in Psalms it goes on and says, I am the Lord that heals you and forgives all your iniquity. Amen. But look at here what it says in Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. And said, Moses is, God is speaking to him, to Moses, and he says, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. And here's that word, that compound name of God, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. I'm Jehovah who heals, both in body and in soul. You know, when we first came to the assembly, one of the main things that Brother McGeechee pounded into our head were the four basic doctrines of the Pentecostal church. Salvation, divine healing, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and the second coming of Christ. Those are the four main doctrines of the Pentecostal church. And there have been many times when God both used me in the gifts of healing, and that He just healed me when I didn't even ask, if you will, if it can be said like that. But just because He is the God that heals, the Lord who heals, because it's who He is, the Lord who heals you. I asked for several, and this is not a stunt, but I have a need physically in my body. And I want some elders to come, Brother Ryan, Shane, Pastor, Brother Lance, Brother Wally, the elders of the church. The Bible says in James that that's what you're supposed to do. Call for the elders of the church if you have a physical need. It doesn't say sit in the back. wave your hand, I have a physical need. Just like it doesn't say in Exodus chapter 15 that you can live any old way you want to and He's the God that heals you. Did you read that in there? What does it say? If you do this, and you do that, and you do that, and you do that, then it's, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So when He says in the New Testament to call for the elders of the church, I'm not going to disobey that. I need a healing in my body right now that if God doesn't move, I'm going to have surgery for. Why would I disobey what He had to say in the Word? I'm not going to. Come, brethren. I need God today. And as we study His Word, amen, we're finding out that it's the God that heals. God heals. Amen. Jehovah Rapha. Pray with us, saints, this morning. As the elders lay hands on me and pray. Believe God.
Thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we come today. We're not thankful.
Hallelujah.
We have
glory to God.
I need a Lord. I need a
Lord. And standing on your word.
I am. I believe it, Lord. I believe it.
Touch those
in the Lord, according to your word, and heal, and heal, and heal, and heal. It's the children's bread.
Hallelujah.
It is the children's bread. Glory. Hallelujah. 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 I believe you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bring glory to your name, Lord. Bring glory to your name, Lord. Bring glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. I'm going to obey God. Hallelujah. I don't need these diseases. I don't need these things on me. I'm going to believe God. He says, do it this way. I'm going to do it that way. I'm not going to think it up on my own. I'm not going to try and figure it out on my own. I'm going to obey God. Amen. Amen. Jehovah Rapha. Rapha. However you want to say it. Praise God. Going on, Jehovah Jireh. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 14, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And Abraham called the name of that place. What was that place? What was the place that he was naming? The place where God provided a ram. God will provide. And Abraham called the name of that place, Jehovah Jireh. It is, as it is said today, in the mount of the Lord shall it be seen. God will supply every single need that His children, His anointed, have. Everyone. I've never seen His children begging for bread. Never. I brought that scripture up to somebody once. If you're a child of God, what are you doing begging? Get to work. Get to work. Do something for Him. He'll reward you. I mean, do we believe it or not? Amen. I believe it. In every hard trial, in every trouble that we talked about from the Lord hear us in the day of trouble. Every one of those that we find ourselves in, God will provide for His children every single time. Amen. Jehovah Jireh, no matter what we find ourselves in. the next name, Jehovah Nissi. And remember, when I started to study this out, it was last week before the 4th of July. Jehovah Nissi, and I'll be honest, I never had a really good understanding about the Lord our banner. What does that really mean? But as I got to thinking about the Lord our banner, and that the things in the Word of God are there to help us, and He's trying to reveal something to me about His nature, about who He is to me to help me, I figured I better get a grip on it. The Lord our banner, Exodus chapter 17 and verse 15, and Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. Now, if you think about just as a banner is to be waved so that others can be drawn to the rallying point. A banner is to be waved so others come to the rallying point. It's a thing that, again, goes to this battle mentality. I don't want to run that in the ground, but we're in a fight, friend, in this day of trouble. This banner is a rallying point, and I went to the thought of American history, okay? And when I started this, it was then, the 4th of July, and I was thinking about our Star-Spangled Banner. The national anthem now, that started out as a poem written by Francis Scott Key. It was originally called The Defiance of Fort McHenry. That was what the poem was originally called, not the Star-Spangled Banner. Now, we know it today as the Star-Spangled Banner, but that's not what he called it. He called it Defiance of Fort McHenry. And I thought this was interesting. It was written between the 12th and 14th of September in 1814. His birthday is the 13th, by the way. So somewhere in there, that's when it was written. But the poem spread like wildfire through those new states and our new country because it was so defiant to the British. And the whole theme of it is this 15 stripes and 15 starred 30-foot by 42-foot flag that was flown over Fort McHenry during the War of 1812 when the British were trying to come and take us over again. There were 5,000 British troops that besieged Fort McHenry. There was 25 hours of solid bombardment on the fort. Francis Scott Key was actually a captive on a British ship. And he was watching and he was looking for the banner. Through all the trials and tribulations of his life, he was looking for the banner to be flying when all the smoke settled. He looked to see if that 15 stripes and 15 star flag had survived the fierce onslaught of the British. 25 hours of constant bombardment. And then he pens those famous words to us. Does that banner yet wave? God is our banner. Does His banner yet wave? Is there yet a flag to rally around? Amen. Francis Scott Key, when he looked at those stars and stripes through the fog, through the haze, through all the smoke, and all the joy that it brought to his soul to see that flag was still flying. And how much more to us that labor for Him. Is He our banner? And when we see Him flying, one of the greatest things in life is as a Christian? One is to pray through with somebody to get saved. The next greatest thing to that is to watch them grow and wave the banner that God is rising in their hearts. You know that they got it just like you got it? The banner is being raised for holiness and righteousness. Purity. And that banner starts to peek its head up in their life. I don't know about you, but when you take a stand for God in holiness and purity, you're not only going to be attacked from without, they think you're nuts. They think you're crazy. But we're attacked from within as well. And oh, how precious it is to watch in a life as God, our banner, starts to hoist up that flag in a new convert's life. And they say, I'm one of you. I'm one of you. And God's banner begins to wave over them. I don't know, have you ever been attacked for your belief, your faith? The banner that God raised up in your life? I have. And I need to quit. But I want you all to listen to several scriptures. We heard all those names. There's Jehovah Roi, our shepherd. And I didn't do that justice. I didn't say anything about it. God is our shepherd. You need to study that out. But as we go on and we think about the name of God, and now on this side in the New Testament, now I want you to listen to these scriptures and all of the awe that was put on the name of God in the Old Testament. All the respect, all the reverence, all the hallowedness. But yet listen to what the New Testament says. Ephesians chapter 1, 21 through 23. He's far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And have put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head, which is the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Who's that speaking of? It's speaking of Jesus Christ. His name is above every name. Going on, Philippians 2, 6 and 10. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took on Him a form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and on earth. Acts 4:12, neither is there any, or is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The next time you're in trouble, the next time you're in a fight, remember that God has given us His name to defend us. And all those names, all of those Jehovah names can be summed up and surpassed by one. And in your trouble, don't call it vain. Don't think it is a vain thing. And call out the name in Jesus. Amen. His name is far above everybody else's. All those other names, all the revelation of God, all you got to do is speak that one name, Jesus. Glory. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that? I am. Praise God. Let's worship Him as we go to service this morning.